Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I enjoyed that singing. If you got your Bible, we're going to be reading in Luke chapter number 24. I've got something here this morning on my heart that I've never preached on before. And it's just something that been on my heart, and this is what I believe God wants me to read. I've got a good bit of reading. But we just have to obey the Lord sometimes, and God moves in such a way. I want to, you know, what I would want to do naturally is argue with Him. Say, God, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. That won't work. But He's in charge, and we want Him to be lifted up. Before we read, we're going to read Luke 24 and starting in verse number 1. I want to just mention a couple of prayer requests. Let's continue to pray for Miss Judy Faulkner. Judy Faulkner, Ray Faulkner's wife, had to go back in the hospital this week. She is in Kenistone and having some more complications. But let's pray for her. Pray for Brother Ray. She went in the hospital initially around the 1st of January. And she spent about 4 weeks in there, had some complications, so went out into rehab, had some more complications, back in the hospital. Then she went home for a few days. The nurse came out, and she was having some issues, had to go back in the hospital. But they're weary. And sometimes when you're dealing with long-term illness, it's difficult. It's difficult on the person that's suffering, but it's also difficult on the caregiver. I saw a sign over in Douglasville, and, you know, it's meant something to me. It said, caregiving is tougher than tough. For those of you that have been involved in that, and I know there are a lot of people in this church house today that have. I mean, you love your families and you want to take care of them, but let's remember them. Along those lines, folks, let's continue to pray for Brother Scotty Bill and pray for his family. He's been sick a long time. God knows what that need is. Also, I want to mention this morning, let's pray for Tim Allen. You know, Tim lost his wife Denise, and you know, he has had some health issues, and we need to continue to pray for him. And Jeff Shelton. Jeff Shelton was here last Sunday morning, he and Tanya. This is Tommy and Bruce's son-in-law. And Monday morning, he was in a very severe car accident. And they had to lifeline him to Grady. And if you go down the left side of his body, there's not many bones that are not broken. If you start at his foot, his ankle's crushed. His fibula and his tibia are broken. His femur was broken in half, fractured about halfway up his leg, and it was a pretty severe fracture because it actually compacted the bones down and they had to reset it. He also has broken ribs, a fractured sternum, a broken arm, and he has a broken wrist, and his eye socket underneath his eye is also broken. So let's pray for him because this is going to be a long road of recovery, a lot of time. And those of you that have had broken bones, you know the older you get, that weather changes. It's not fun. He's going to have a long road in front of him. But his wife made the comment yesterday. She said it's very difficult to watch him suffer and know not only what he's been through, but what he's going to have to go through. But she said he's with us. And that's a husband and that's a dad. He's got two daughters that are by his side. And Brother Tommy's not here this morning. I would venture to say he's there with them. But God knows about it, okay? God knows about what you're going through. And if I ever get into this message deep enough, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But God knows. He knows. Now, if you got your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter number 24, and let's look at what happened. And what I'm going to preach about this morning is the road to Emmaus. If you've ever read this or ever studied it, you'll see as we get into it, we're going to do some reading. But, you know, coming up to this 24th chapter, give you just a little preface on what's happening, is Jesus knows that his hour is coming. He knows that the time is coming where he's going to have to go and face the cross. And over here in the 22nd chapter of Luke, what we find, starting in the 7th verse down through the 23rd verse, we find the Last Supper. It's the time that Jesus is there with the disciples. And if you look at the 19th verse in that 22nd chapter, it talks about Jesus when he's there with them. He took bread and he gave thanks and he brake it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now he tells them that he'll not eat this bread or drink this cup anymore until, you know, he is with them. And you go on over and you look at what's happening later in this same chapter. Peter denies the Lord. He denies him three times, and the Lord basically sees Peter deny him. Then you go into the 23rd chapter and you see Jesus before Pilate and Jesus before Herod, and Jesus is sentenced to die. They wanted to kill him because he came and he basically disrupted their religious forum that they had of the day. But you know, the Bible talks about it. God had a plan from the foundation of the world. And in the 26th verse of the 23rd chapter, going down through to the 49th verse, we find where they crucified Jesus. Hung him on a cross, and he died on a cross for abiding your sins. And in the 50th verse of the 23rd chapter, Jesus is taken, and he's taken into Joseph of Arimathea, and he's placed in a borrowed tomb. And he's there. And the disciples are hurting. The disciples are suffering. His mother is crying because Jesus is in a tomb. Now let's pick up in the first verse. It's now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed or troubled or puzzled thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are angels. And they were afraid, the people were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now, folks, you can underline that. That's significant. But you're going to find in this story, there's going to be a lot of things that are in this chapter that is spoken to these people. And even though it's spoken to them, even though Jesus said it, even though the scriptures wrote it, the prophet said it, they're still having trouble hearing it. They said, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, and saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rise again.'" Jesus told them. The scriptures told them. Now the angels are telling them. It said, "And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. That's the 11 disciples that remained. For Judas, remember, he had taken the 30 pieces of silver and he threw them back down at their feet. And the Bible says he went out and he hanged himself. There was 11. And there was also Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the Mary, the mother of James, and other women also that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." But look at the 11th verse. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass." So I want you to see them. Obviously, these great appearance, the tomb is there with a stone rolled away. The angel speaks, reminding them of the words of the Lord. Peter runs and he looks in. And when a body was to be buried, they would have a linen cloth over the face and they would wrap the body. And what I believe that Peter looked in and saw, as he saw those wrappings of clothes, but they had just collapsed. Because there was no body inside anymore. But as he looked in, just like you and I when we're trying to see things, he didn't understand it all. He didn't know how it could happen. How in the world can this be? and he's perplexed. But if we pick up in the 13th verse, here we begin the road to Emmaus. It says, and behold, two of them that same day came to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. That's about 7.5 miles. Be like you walking to Douglasville. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't recognize him. He's walking with them and they didn't recognize him. And in the 17th verse, Jesus speaks unto them and he said, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, this is Jesus, he says, what things? Now here they are, there's two of them walking, and Jesus is walking with them, and he knows them, but they didn't recognize him. And he's reaching into their hearts, just like sometimes he does into ours, and he says, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. They have crucified him. But look at the 21st verse. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen visions of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they found not. Now here's Jesus, he begins to speak to them, and says, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And he, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now that's very important, that 27th verse. You see, I believe they've never been a speaker, never been a preacher as powerful as Jesus. The Bible says in one place, when he spoke, even the winds and the seas obeyed him. In another place, they said, what manner of man is this? And as Jesus spoke to them, here's the thing to understand. They still didn't see him. And look at the 28th verse. Look at what Jesus did. And it says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he, speaking of Jesus, made as if, as though, he would have gone on further. It's almost like they're turning into a building. Jesus goes to walk on. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And so it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Now here's something to get a hold of. I read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, Jesus was sitting with the disciples and he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave. You find where we're at here. Jesus is sitting with them, and all of these things that he spoke, all of these things that are done, they didn't recognize him until he sat at meat and he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And it says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, listen to this 32nd verse. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now I want to stop right there, and I want us just to look for just a minute at the historical happening and what's actually happening in this scripture. Because I believe, based on the Word of God, and folks, I believe the Word of God. And can I just say this right here? I think to be a preacher, you need to be saved. You need to be a born-again person, okay? Preachers don't come from people that are lost. Now, they some out there trying to do it, but you got to be born again. Then I believe you've got to be called. I believe that to minister the gospel is a calling of God. It's not something that you go to school to do because you think you can make a good living. I've heard people say that. That's not what it's about. It's a calling. You do it because God called you. And then I'll give you the third one. I believe you need to believe the Word of God. If you're not saved, called, and believe the Word of God, you don't need to be behind the pulpit anywhere. So here we are, and we've come to a place that we look at this scripture, the historical happening. Here's what I believe. I believe it happened just like the Bible says. See, I believe at the beginning in the 1st through the 12th verse, they come to an empty tomb, and the scripture says they departed, wondering in himself what was come to pass. Well, the thing about it here, remember, it had already been told. It was told. It was told by the prophets. It was told by Jesus himself. And then we see on the road to Emmaus, we see two that are talking together. And in the 15th and the 16th verse, as they begin to reason among themselves, Jesus came and he's walking with them, and he basically asked them, what are you talking about? Why are you all so sad? But how many times, I mean, let's look at this and see what's going on. And Jesus comes up with them, and they tried to tell Jesus about what was happening, and here's what was going on. They were telling Jesus about Jesus. You ever got a hold of that? And then Jesus begins to speak. He began to speak about what really happened, and he told them based on what's written in the Word of God. And I want to tell you something about the Bible that I believe. I believe the Old Testament supports the New Testament. There's picture after picture in the Word of God that points us to the things of God, that if we could pray as David did and said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, it is amazing how God laid out the story. And as they go on, even after he had spoke to them, they still didn't get it. And they said, would you stay with us? It's almost like the day is going down. Now, these were good people. We see that. And Jesus comes in, and he begins to break the bread. And as he breaks it and they recognize him, he's gone from their sight. You ever think about what kind of body you're going to have when you're resurrected? I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. I don't know all the answers, but I know old Joseph over there. He said, when you leave this land of Egypt, he said, take my bones with you. One day I'm going to figure out what that means, brother. But one thing I know when I look at this, Jesus, he had a real body. He told Thomas, he said, reach your hand right here in my side. Put your finger right here in the prints of my fingers. You find him in another place where he appears to him just shortly thereafter, and he asks the question, brethren, have you any meat? For those of you that like to eat, never fear, you're going to have good food in heaven. I believe that. I believe it. Jesus breaks the bread. And as he departs from them, I like this 32nd verse. They said, didn't our heart burn? When he spoke to us and the words that he was saying, our heart burned inside of us. And while he talked with us, by the way, and he opened to us the scriptures. And after he had spoke to them, they jumped up because they recognized it's him. It's him. It's real. It happened just like he said that it would. And they run back and they said, we saw him and it was revealed to us when he broke the bread. Now let's look at this for us as Christians. Here we are today, 2024. We're wondering, is the Lord coming back like he said? Yes, he's coming back just like he said. He rose from the grave just like he said. And here's good news for you people. His promises do not waver. He cannot tell a lie. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to finish what he started. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to see. And what I want us to look at, and this is really what's on my heart, is how many times have we found ourselves on the road to Emmaus? Now, what do you mean? I'm going to try my best, and you pray that God will help me be able to give you the things and pour it out of my heart of what I'm seeing here. Of what we see with these people is they're on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking and they're talking, but as they're walking together, they're not expressing their faith. They're not expressing that Jesus died, but he rose. And, you know, when they went over to the tomb, they found him gone. It's because he's here. He's powerful. He's going to do everything that he said. No, they were still trying to figure it out. Their limited understanding caused them to question. They questioned the circumstances, the outcomes. They did not understand, just like ours. Sometimes our limited understanding causes us to get together and do the same thing. We try to reason things out. We try to figure things out. And we're trying to do it with our natural mind. And that's impossible. It is impossible for us with a carnal mind to understand the infinite power of God. I've heard it said it's like a minnow trying to survey the ocean. I believe it's greater than that. I've heard it compared to our lives as being one click on the clock of eternity that never stops. As they walked together, and they said over here in the 21st verse, they said, we trusted that he had been the one. But it was like as they walked together, they said, we thought he was the one. We thought he was the one that Moses spoke of. We thought he was the one that the prophets wrote of. But they killed him. And that's kind of where they were at. You know, the reason that we find ourselves sometimes on the road to Emmaus is we decide we're going to follow God, we're going to walk with God, and all of a sudden something comes up in our life. And we say, well, I thought serving God would be different. I thought if I decided to serve the Lord that it would be this way. It's almost like we say, I thought that serving the Lord, he would never leave me, and you think that God's left you. But let's look at these people. They're on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking, and they're in the very presence of God, but they don't even see him. You know, sometimes the circumstances of our life are just like that. Because we're so blinded by the trouble, by the heartache, by the issues, by the problems, by the challenges of life, we can be right in the very presence of God and we don't even know he's there. You know, there's a poem that we played it here at Celebrate Recovery a couple of weeks ago. It's about the footprints in the sand. And it goes through the pictures of your life. And you could just imagine this with the disciples as they walk with Jesus and they're walking side by side. And they see him do the miracles. They see him do the great things. They see him feeding the 5,000. They see him giving sight to the blind. And they're walking together. But there come a time when Jesus was stripped from them in the garden. And they took him. And in their own ability, Peter, he rose up with his sword. And, of course, he was willing to fight. But that same Peter denied him a short time later. You know, it's different when we feel like we're walking by ourselves. It's different when we feel like, hey, I've made a decision to serve God, to walk with God, and then the circumstances of your life don't turn out exactly the way that you think that they would, and you wonder where God's at. In the poem, it says this. It's when you see only one set of footprints, it's then that God is carrying you.
And as Jesus is walking with them, our limited understanding causes doubt. And being in the presence of God, the very presence of God, is not benefiting us if we can't see Him. But over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, I like this verse. It says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And here's some good news and something that I want to share with you today. Sometimes we think that as a Christian that in order for God to bless me or for God to care about me, I've got to be on the mountaintop. I've got to be walking in 100% faith, believing that everything is all right. But I want to tell you something, child of God. When you can't see Him, He's still there. When you're on the road to Emmaus in your life and you wonder where God's at and you're questioning and you've got troubles and you've got heartaches, He cannot deny Himself. And He won't deny His children. You know, He asked them a question and He said, you know, what things? And He was beginning to get them to talk. And they talked to Him and they begin to express. You know, sometimes what we need to do in our relationship with God is come forward. And here's what the altar is right here. It's God is here. God is here. And He's saying, what things? What things? Bring those things and bring them to me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And the things that are written in the prophets, they're going to come to pass. Because sometimes for us on our road to Emmaus, we may have heard, we may have been taught, we may have experienced, but it may be today that it's not being manifested in our life. You know, I've been saved a long time. A lot of you have as well. But have we always been at a point that we could be shouting? Unfortunately, that's not so. You know, you find another story in the Word of God where John the Baptist is over there, and we talked about this just here recently. He was cast into prison. Why? Because he told the truth. And because the world hated him for it. And he's over there, the same one that saw Jesus baptized, saw the Holy Spirit coming upon him in the form of dove. I heard the voice say, behold the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. I heard the voice say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But what did he say? He said, disciples, you go over to where Jesus is at. And you ask him if he's the one or if we should look for another. And what did Jesus send back? He said, you go tell John. You tell him the blind receive their sight. You tell him the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And he sent those encouraging words. Because there are times in our life that even though we've seen, even though we've heard, even though we've experienced, we can be right in the very presence of God. But we're missing Him. Why are we missing Him? Because we're so concerned about so many other things. And our hearts are weighed down so heavily by so many other things that God's speaking, but we're not hearing. But what this scripture is trying to get us to understand is He hasn't changed. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. There's a verse that talks about in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Here's what God wants us to understand. He is constant all the time. Even in the midst of the most difficult times, the most difficult situations, that's why when Jesus was there with them and he took that bread and he blessed it and he broke it. I love that story over there where he's got the two little, the two loaves and the two fishes and the five loaves, I believe it is. And here's what he does with it. He takes it and he lifts it up and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it. And when we see that as how God works in our lives, that's exactly what God does. He blesses, but He breaks. And sometimes the breaking is the part that's very difficult for us. And what's going on in the lives of these disciples is they are at a time of being broken. But what happens next? If you know the story, by what they saw in Christ, based on what I believe in the Word of God, I believe there's nine times that Jesus appeared after he was resurrected. The people who saw him, the disciples, believed so much in what they had saw that they were willing to die for it. That same Peter that denied him, according to historical legend, not biblical, because it's not written this way in the Word of God. What is written in the Word of God is Jesus told Peter, he said, there'll come a time when they'll take you to a place you don't want to go. This signifying how he would glorify the Lord in his death. Historically, history teaches that Peter was crucified upside down. Because they were going to crucify him, and he said, I can't be crucified like my Lord. I can't die like my Lord. And they crucified him upside down. You say, well, that's tragic. Folks, it's one tick on eternity's clock. The problem that you and I have, and the reason that oftentimes we find ourselves on the road to Emmaus, is because from where we sit on this earth, we can't see what God sees. And as we're going through life and we have questions and we have troubles and we have loss and we don't understand the mind of God, we can't see from where God sees. If we saw what God saw, we wouldn't have these times of trouble like they had. But what we really need to understand is that he always sees. In John chapter 20 and verse number 29, the latter part of the verse. This is something that happens right shortly after this particular incident. As old Thomas, he hears the word, and he says, well, I'm not going to believe unless I can stick my finger into his hands. Unless I can reach into his side where they pierced him. Jesus comes before him in the 20th chapter of John, and he says, Thomas, behold my hands and my feet. Come hither and stick your finger into my hands and reach into my side. Of course, Thomas, he falls down and he says, my Lord and my God. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, if we understand that he is God, he's always God, he's always going to be God. And even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances when we question God, and even sometimes it's like this, we get amongst ourselves and we reason, and because none of us have the answers, we try to figure it out for each other. Sometimes what we want to do is point people back to the bread of life. Folks, this is a constant. It never changes. It's the same. Every now and then, just so I can do it, my dad had a Bible just like this one. His Bible had a black cover, but it was exactly the same Bible. It was, of course, Holy Bible, King James Version, Nelson Open Bible. Published 1977. That's when this one was published. And I get my dad's Bible, and I lay it beside my Bible. And I can turn to any place, and it reads the same. Then I go back and I get another one. I get the Thompson chain reference and I lay it down and it reads the same. All those preachers that were in my life, most of the people that signed my ordination paper, when I open the Bibles that are in their houses and, you know, the old Bibles, my boys, they do some cleanup, and every time they're doing a clean up of a storage unit or something like that, they'll bring me any Bibles that are in it. They said, Dad, we just can't throw them away. I got a stack of them. When I open them, they read the same. What am I trying to say? If you found yourself on the road to Emmaus, there's hope. Because God hadn't changed. And what he wants us to do is be encouraged and know that everything that he said would come to pass is going to come to pass. But what we've got to be able to do is we've got to be able to see him. Now, I'm done this morning. This is what I had on my heart, but here's what I want you to understand. Go ahead and get ready with a song. You can be right in Jesus' presence, but that may not be enough. You can be in the house of the Lord every Sunday. You can hear the singing. You can hear the preaching, but it may not be enough. What you got to do is you got to recognize where you're at, and you got to let His voice and the answers that He gives us from His Word, the movement of His Spirit, to be able to open your eyes that you can see. See, I believe the Lord wants to break the bread for somebody this morning. And when you talk to Him and you say, you know, we just don't understand. Things are not working out like I thought. It's what God's doing. He's asking you the question, what things? And He wants you to come tell Him. Amen. And I believe that. As she sings, would you rise to your feet? God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray. This is your opportunity to come. We're also going to open the doors of the church. If you want to join the church, come on down. We accept members by baptism or by statement of faith. But I believe God's saying to somebody this morning, what things? What things have got you so perplexed on the road to Emmaus? What things are causing your heart to burn? What things are causing you to question God? Would you bring them to Him this morning? God standing with His arms open. Go ahead.